News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
A host of key European leaders will join Ukraine's Volodymyr Zelensky when he meets with US President Donald Trump at the White House later on today. And for more on this, we're joined now by Misha Glenny, Rector of the Institute of Human Sciences in Vienna and former BBC Central Europe correspondent. Good morning to you, Misha. The significance of today's meeting, both the meeting between, I suppose, Donald Trump and Volodymyr Zelensky, but also the significance of the EU leaders accompanying him, Keir Starmer, other EU leaders, Ursula von der Leyen. What's your view on it?
Well, initially, it was going to be Zelensky alone. And very quickly, the European leaders, with Zelensky's assent, piled in and said, we're going to come too, to drive home several key messages. They were very disturbed by the meeting between Trump and Putin on Friday in Anchorage, Alaska, where it appeared that Trump made a number of concessions over the head of the Ukrainians to Vladimir Putin. And so this very robust delegation of Europeans, including Keir Starmer, Friedrich Merz, the German Chancellor, Giorgia Meloni, who Trump gets on very well with, and incidentally, don't forget Alexander Stubb, the Finnish president, perhaps the least known, but the one who gets on very well with Trump and is an extremely good diplomat and intellectual. And actually, I think Stubb is being brought in because they feel they can persuade Trump to draw back from some of the major concessions he appears to have made to
And just
to
for
Putin.
People maybe who aren't keeping abreast of the news cycle, the things you're referring to, that suddenly a ceasefire appears to be off the table, yeah. Suddenly land swaps seem to be almost a given. What was the worst of what happened on Friday?
I was going to come on to exactly what we're talking about. There are three things going on here. First of all, there is, as you say, suddenly a ceasefire was off the table, and Trump had said that the whole point about the meeting with Putin was to get a ceasefire. The absence of that ceasefire is seen as a victory for Putin, because he can carry on with the powerful offensive that's going on part of the front line at the moment. The second thing is the question of what is rather euphemistically referred to as land swaps, but whose really is handing over to Russians territory.
I'm not sure what the swap bit of that is.
That is exactly. It's a very uneven swap indeed. So, and it appears as though Trump has now indicated that Crimea will definitely remain with Russia in any sort of peace deal, and that the Ukrainians will have to hand over territory in two other oblasts, Donetsk and Luhansk, in the east of the country, but also in the other places where the Russian army is, there would be a freezing of the front line. So it doesn't mean that there wouldn't be at some later stage further land concessions to Russia. So that's very disturbing for the Ukrainians and the Europeans. And then finally, there's this question of security guarantees. And this is trying to square the circle. How do you ensure that any peace deal will be guaranteed for Ukraine? Because the absolute red line for Putin is NATO membership cannot happen. And Trump seems to agree with that. Now we are getting slightly confusing messages out of Washington from Trump, from Witkoff, his special envoy on Ukraine, and from Marco Rubio, with the suggestion that Europe will be allowed to give security guarantees, which, you know, puts a lot of emphasis on Europeans' ability to offer those guarantees. And so one of the things that the Europeans and Zelensky will be trying to work out today is, what does Trump exactly mean by that? In the absence of NATO membership.
And obviously, I'm sure it still lives on in the consciousness of Ukraine that they had security guarantees before the Budapest Memorandum, Russia, the US and the UK underwriting that, saying that they would back them in terms of security. and that it was okay to give up their nuclear weapons. That hasn't worked out for Ukraine.
That's absolutely right. In 1994, the Budapest Memorandum, where Ukraine, as you say, voluntarily gave up their nuclear weapons. Incidentally, control over those nuclear weapons remained in Moscow through, in terms of operational control, through all that time, so that it wasn't as much of a concession as it might appear. But nonetheless, in exchange for that, the United States, Europe and Russia said that Ukraine's borders were inviolable. And those borders have now been violated.
Yeah.
And so the Ukrainians are rightly suspicious of any sort of deal which doesn't give it cast iron security guarantees. And that's something which at the moment I don't think Trump is willing to do. So that puts the onus back on the European Union and the United Kingdom to actually create a credible defence force. Now, Europe is at the moment pouring billions and billions into arms industries and trying to enhance its pretty creaky old defence capability. Will that lead to a new arms race? Who knows? But yeah, these are huge questions for the future of the European Union, the United Kingdom, the US and NATO. And Putin at the moment has quite a few cards in his hand.
And Misha, maybe lastly, it's only about a week since President Zelensky used that word that you just used, inviolable. He said the constitution and you know, the territory, the borders of Ukraine are inviolable only last week. What is the best outcome that we can hope for, do you think, from this meeting later on today, in view of everything we've talked about, in terms of the backdrop here?
Well, one thing I would say is that there does now appear, I mean, it might fail completely, but there does now appear to be some sort of peace negotiation in train. It's actually started. I think that realistically, in their heart of hearts, Ukrainians, including Zelensky, know that some territory would have to go if you are going to secure peace. So the issue there, if they were to agree to that in order to stop the invasion at the moment where it is, then that means really hard choices for Ukraine, and they must have other concessions. I mean, okay, not concessions, but they must have some guarantee themselves.
Okay, so are you saying that they would maybe give up something in the east to save something in the south?
Exactly. Yeah. There are key things there. You cannot hand over Odessa, the port in the southwest of Ukraine, because without that, without control of Odessa and the other port, Mykolaiv, and access to the Black Sea, Ukraine is not a viable state. Okay. And that is something Putin would want, to cripple Ukraine as a functioning state. He's done as much as he can to try and do that already. But without Odessa, Ukraine cannot survive.
Look, thank you very much for joining us on that this morning. That is Misha Glenny, the rector of the Institute of Human Sciences in Vienna and former BBC Central Europe correspondent.
News Talk Breakfast with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR
on News Talk.